Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of Thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ, hey, cut that out. According to the study for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Amen. Lord, my fortress, you are my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. To you the nation will come from the ends of the earth and declare that their ancestors possessed nothing but false gods, worthless idols that did them no good. On that day, all people will come to you and bow their knees. They will acknowledge you as the one true God, the fortress who stands higher and longer than all man-made fortresses, because you are the great eternal God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. What will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. Let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. With you.
like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Father in heaven, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. We choose to press and keep believing for the dreams and desires you have placed in our hearts. We trust you today with everything that we are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with our devotional message. Amen. Praise be to God.
You should be thankful just to be alive. A family that
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Hearing the Word. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 85, verse 8. And it says, I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace. Amen. Praise God for the reading of his word. Amen. The writer says, whenever you read scripture, consider what the Holy Spirit may be communicating to you through it. Don't just ask, how do I solve my problem? Instead, keep the following prayerful question in mind. Lord, what is the context of what I am reading? Help me understand the foundation and heart of what has been written. Are you revealing something about your character, relationship with me, or provision? Are there attitudes, beliefs, and habits that are undermining my well-being or relationship with you? Lord, what do you want to communicate to me today? Make those verses and principles stick out and help me to focus on what you desire me to see. Are there any actions or steps that you are revealing to me through your word? How do you desire me to apply what I am reading? What do you desire to accomplish in and through me? Your Heavenly Father will bring things to mind he wants to address in your life. No matter what it is, do not push it aside. Instead, continue pursuing how Jesus desires for you to deal with it, because that at its most profound core is doing God's will. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, we want to hear what you have to say. Help us understand what you are communicating through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
Living day by day. rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a sunny. Never say never, or come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh.
Needs to grow word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm speaking, do not disturb. Every Christian needs to grow word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This advice is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm teaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. For the child, if you spare the rod, teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's
sun. Counseling and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking in the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Amen. Lord, my fortress, I bless your name, for you are my wall of defense, my ready-made protection, and my fortress. In you I find relief from my trials and tribulations. Forgive me for not praising you as I should, for protecting me from so many dangers over the years. You have prevented events and situations that would have harmed me. Keep me. You keep them from reaching me. Yet I have not adored or worshiped you in gratitude for being my fortress, as I should have. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to
you. front line. Cause it's time to pray. Come on, kick out them shoes.
My fortress and my God, thank you for already knowing what to do. You already know what's going to happen to me. And you are directing my steps in your great kingdom plan. Thank you for your strength, wisdom, power, and protection. Because of you, I do not fear the many things I would fear apart from faith in you. Because of you, I am able to enjoy my life assured of your presence and refuge. You are my strength when I am weary, and I thank you for infusing me with your strong presence. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Yeah.
looking back. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now it is time for our lesson by our very own Barbara A. Amore and Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so we ready to get started?
Before I forget, I don't want to give Mother said to tell you hello, and she loves you, and she misses you.
Thank you. I love her, too. How's she doing?
Every time I go to see her, she looks younger and younger. She's doing absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
All right. She's getting her rest. That's great.
Exactly. Yeah.
When did you see her?
I went to visit her yesterday.
Okay.
At the nursing home that she's in.
Okay, I'm so glad you get to see her, you know.
Yes.
She was on my mind at, you know, times. I think about her a lot.
Yeah, she said she thinks about everybody, but her phone was giving her a little problem, so she couldn't call anybody. But she got everything straightened out now. So she's good.
So it's good you could go and see her. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now that I know how to get there, I don't have a problem. Yeah.
Okay. Is it far from you? I think it's on the other side of town or something, right?
Yeah. It's on closer to, yeah, she's down on Kingbridge, and that's a distance from me. I have to take 2 buses to get to her.
Ooh, oh, boy. But
yeah,
it's worth it, you know.
Absolutely. I tell you, it's been a long time since I laughed so much. I mean, Mother had us cracking up there. Myself. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We'd sit there talking and laughing and eating junk food.
I'm glad she's doing fine. She's doing very well. Let her know I received that and I send the love right back to her. And then I think about her all
day. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So
did you get my check?
Yes. I got it on Saturday.
Okay.
And that's another thing I forgot to see, because if I don't say them right then and there, I'll forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure you got it.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So we can talk about that at the meeting later. You know we're meeting, right, God willing?
Yes, yes. I had to remind First Lady that we're having a meeting.
Yeah, I did. I sent her a text this morning.
Oh, okay. No, I remind her yesterday.
And she sent me a text back saying thank you for the reminder. She loved the reminder. So I don't know if you need to remind her again, but whatever your, you know, desire is, so be it.
Mm-mm.
But I spoke with Valerie.
Uh-huh.
She said she wasn't going to come on because she didn't have anything to contribute. But I told her we need her on anyway. If she just wants to be silent, she needs to come on. So she said she's going to come.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So I don't know about Reverend Price.
Oh, I don't know either.
Yeah, because she had a meeting the last time. I don't know if she's set with a meeting every Tuesday night at, you know, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to go right along. So I'm going to say the prayer. Anyone else on the line with us?
No.
Okay. Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again, few of your humble servants come together to study your word, to thank you for waking us up and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Father God, we thank you for everything, the sunshine, the rain, the chill, the warmth of the air, water, fresh air, clothes, a bed to sleep in, a roof over our heads, food on our table, Father, friends, neighbors, and enemies too, family, Lord God. We thank you for all of those things. We can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So we thank you for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And we just ask right now that you continue to bless us and keep us. Special blessing on Evangelist Hilda and her physical well-being. Touch her mind, heart, soul, spirit, her body. Thank you, God. Special blessing on Apostle Mother Wiggins. Praying that she will continue to thrive and be better looking than she was. Not that it's about looks, but that she would be better than she was when she entered the nursing home. So thank you. And thank you for her recovery. If it be thy will, Father God, we thank you. And just continue to love on her as you're doing right now. Bless all the families, Father God, those that are near, those that are far, those that know about you, those that need to know more about you. We thank you for all of that. And bless this lesson, God. We're coming to you right now to just say thank you in advance for blessing this lesson. And all these blessings, I ask, forgive us of our sins. Bless those who come on with us and those who thought about coming on with us and no longer do, but bless them and continue to bless them. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. Thank you. I receive a pardon and everybody else's. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I just want to say I text Apostle Jackson today, Althea, and she responded to me. Yeah. But she said she's doing fine. Yeah. Yes. I have been thinking about her, too. So.
Oh, I see her every Sunday.
You do?
Yeah. She'd be on, she'd be preaching on Facebook.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not on that, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I get to see her.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's down in North Carolina.
Yeah, relocated. So all is well.
Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. So we're gonna pick up our lesson right here. We stopped at page 275 and talked about the Old Testament, the evidence of eternality. And what is eternality? We're talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. What is eternality?
It's life eternal, eternal life.
Well, it's more that God and Jesus was always here.
Okay.
Well, that's two different words. Eternality, since God is eternal, he was always here. And we're talking about his son, Jesus. He was always here also. As I said before, a lot of people study that he was created. And, well, he was always here like his father. So we're going to pick up at that had stopped that Abraham was born because he said, I am. I was might indicate that he existed for several centuries before Abraham, but I am, E-I-M-I, states eternality. And this is when Christ claimed eternality, when he declared, before Abraham was, I am. As in John 8:58, we looked at that already. This is more than limited existence before Abraham was born, because he said, I am. I was, as I said already, might indicate that he existed for several centuries before Abraham, but I am, Emi, states eternality. Meaning what again? What does that whole little section of paragraph I read mean?
I have no idea where you are.
I am in the on page 275.
Yes.
The third paragraph, starting with Christ claimed eternality. Under section C.
Wait. We're on 275. The activity of the pre-incarnate Christ.
No, we didn't get there yet.
That's
that.
Where we stopped.
No, we didn't finish the first part.
Okay.
Look at two paragraphs above the third part, the activity of the pre-incarnate Christ.
Uh-huh.
Look at two paragraphs above that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I'll read it again. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Okay. Christ claimed eternality when he declared, before Abraham was, I am, as in John 8 and 58 in the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
This is more than limited existence before Abraham was born, because he said, I am. I was might indicate that he existed for several centuries before Abraham, but I am, my, states eternality. And again, what does that mean? Not just
that
the word, but what does that mean? Let me ask the question before you try to answer it. What did that paragraph mean is what I'm asking you, not just the word eternality.
Yeah, it's saying that Christ was here before Abraham even existed. Christ existed before.
Well, this is saying... not saying he existed several centuries before, right?
Yeah, okay. Christ claimed eternity.
He's saying he was always here, not just several centuries before him.
Yeah, I got it. I got it now. Go ahead.
John's plain statement was that Christ is God, John 1 and 1. The Word was God, not the Word was divine, as in Moffat and Goodspeed, since that would require theos, as in Acts 17:29 and 2 Peter 1 and 3. Nor does John say that the Word was a God, as Jehovah's Witnesses translated. Definite nouns that precede the verb, and the verb in this point is what? Regularly lack the definite article. So the verb, it says definite nouns, that's the person, place, or thing that precede the verb, is kind of an action, as here, regularly lack the definite article. So when we're talking about God, it's not a God, as the Jehovah's Witnesses translated. We're talking about God. Right. So we don't need that article trying to define him, all right?
Okay.
You understand that. You know that. So let's go on to section 3, the activity of the pre-incarnate Christ. A, his activity as creator. What does that mean?
He created everything. He was in the, when God started, Christ created, or no, God created Christ. What's that word? Brought it, did he bring it all to fruition?
He spoke it into existence.
There you go, spoke it into existence. I couldn't remember that spoken into existence.
Yeah. Let's go back for a minute, because we didn't look at the scriptures in the paragraph above section 3.
Oh, okay.
So let's look at... we basically know John 1:1 by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know it by heart?
No. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God.
There you go.
What that would be... that's how I remember, like, okay, I know that one, and John 14, 1 and 14.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are...
1 and 14?
No,
wait,
John,
a minute. Slow down.
John 14 and 1.
Which one is that? What does that say?
Oh, believe in the Father and believe also in me. I think that's it. Because I know 3 and 16 is God so loved the world. And John 14 and 1 is believe also in the Father as ye. Don't let your hearts be troubled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I get them mixed up, but once I go back to the scripture, then I put them back into place. Because sometimes I can't read them without the scripture.
And then John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world
mm-hmm.
that he gave his only begotten son.
Right.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And
amen.
Some books say, whosoever shall believe in him. So we have two different interpretations of that. But let's go to John 1 and 1, even though you recited it so beautifully. Let's see what it says.
Okay. John 1 and 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's in the New Living.
Okay. And mine, the Message, thank you, says the Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. And I just want to look at 3 through 5. It says everything was created through him. Not by him, but through him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, not one thing came into being without him.
Mm-hmm.
What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. The light, the life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that the light, the life light that came out of that was what?
The light.
Jesus.
Which one was that? Four? The Word. Oh, yeah.
Jesus,
yeah.
The life light.
Jesus. The life light.
The life light was Jesus, right?
Let me put a notation there.
Okay. The life light. He is the light.
Yes. Amen.
So let's take a look at Acts 17 and 29. And we're going to go to 2 Peter, but right now it's Acts
17 and 9, you say?
29.
And since this is true, we should not think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone.
Okay.
That's 20. Yeah. And since this is true, we should not think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. Oh, those was when they were making those idols of gold and stone and wood.
Mm-hmm. That was what? What was that to them?
Their God.
Yeah. Made of stone or wood or whatever else.
Gold, like the golden calf.
Yeah. And so wrong. So wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at I'm going to start at 24 through 29 because that's the way it's sectioned off. And this, again, is Acts 17, 24 through 29, and it reads, the God who made the world and everything in it, this master of the sky and land, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him as if he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures. The creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's one of your poets and said it well. I'm sorry, wait. He's one of your poets. He's not remote, he's near. We live and move in him, can't get away from him. One of your poets said it well. We're the God created. Well, if we are the God created, it doesn't make a lot of sense to think we could hire a sculptor to chisel a God out of stone for us, does it? What do you think about that?
Oh, no.
No thoughts?
No thoughts. My mind is not working.
Okay, let's take a look at 2 Peter 1 and 3.
2 Peter, Hebrews, 1 John, what was that, 2 Peter and what?
1 and 3, excuse me. 2 Peter 1 and 3.
2 Peter 1. Oh, I'm on 2. 1 and 3. 3. Okay. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. 1 and 3. Amen.
Okay. Thank you. And Maya says, don't put it off. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turn your back on a world corrupted by lust.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, so let's go back to section 3, the activity as creator. So we're talking again about Jesus being the creator.
Yes.
Number one, the extent of it. He was involved in the creation of all things, John 1 and 3, which we read, Colossians 1 and 16, Hebrews 1 and 2. This demonstrates his power to be able to create all things. So that gets back to the point that Jesus created all things. God gave him, you know, permission.
Authority.
But it was, the authority is even better, right? Gave him the authority to create all things. So we don't need to look at Colossians 1 and 3 again, but we're going to take a look at Colossians 1 and 16?
17. I have 17.
Is it 17?
The purpose of it? You're on number 2 or number 3?
Number 1, Colossians 1 and 16.
Oh, okay. 1 and 16. Now I got to find Colossians.
After Philippians?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Colossians 1 and 16. Colossians 1 and 16 says, oh, Jesus. It didn't say that, but I said that. It says, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Amen.
That says it. I don't need to read.
Mm-mm.
Let's look at Hebrews. Thank you. Hebrews 1 and 2.
Okay. Hebrews 1 and 2. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. Amen.
He said
he gave him the authority. And through that Jesus created everything. Praise be to God.
Yes, God. And Hebrews 1 through 3 says, going through a long line of prophets, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Recently, he spoke to us directly through his Son. By his Son, God created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to the Son at the end. This Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words. Amen.
Mighty powerful. Praise
the God.
The mighty power. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, God. So let me see what this other one. All right. So now we're going to look at that was the extent of it. That was really, what was it? That was the extent of his creativity.
The universe.
You said it. Everything.
Yeah, once he gave him that power, and then he created the universe.
Beautiful.
Everything.
Beautiful. Thank you. And now number two, the purpose of it. All things were created for him.
Yes.
Colossians 1 and 16, which we already read,
mm-hmm.
meaning for the purpose of achieving his ends in the creation. This demonstrates his prerogative to have creation serve his purposes. Any thoughts about that? Any questions?
No.
Okay. Moving right along, section 3, the continuation of it. He also now sustains his creation, for in him all things hold together. Now Colossians 1 and 17. This demonstrates his presence continuing to sustain creation. So he sustains us, all right? For in him all things hold together. Colossians 1 and 17.
17 says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. You just said that.
Yeah. And so He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. And we consider Christ, he is the head of the body, the head of the church.
Yes.
Amen, amen. So he holds it all together, and it was created for him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So his activity as angel. You want to say something?
I said, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Second, I don't mean to cut you off. Say what you're saying.
No, you're not. See, it's like when I say something, it's like a delay. So I wasn't saying anything. I just said, you know, thank you, Jesus. And after that, I kind of giggle. Yes, like, thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Yes.
No problem. So, B, his activity as angel. Number one, his identity as angel of Yahweh. Clearly, the angel of Yahweh is a self-manifestation of Yahweh, for he speaks for God, identifies himself with God, and claims to exercise the prerogatives of God. Oh, here's a lot of scripture. Genesis 16, 7 through 14, 21, 17 through 18, 22, 31, Exodus 5. Wow! Look at this. Oh, my God.
Well,
we're going to look at some. We're not going to look at all of it, okay? So let's look at Genesis 16, 7 through 14.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning.
I mean, you can look at it if you want to, but not now.
Which one you said?
Genesis 16 through 17.
No, that's 16, 7 through 14.
Genesis 16, 7 through 14. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
16, 7 through
14. And verse 7. Okay, verse 7 says, there we go. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. Shur?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. Yes. He also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? So that well was named Beer Laha. No, no, I can't pronounce that one. There, Lahara, which means well of the living, one who sees me. It can still be found between Kadesh and Beri. So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Wow, why did they so old when they had children?
Well, remember they couldn't conceive. Remember, and Abraham and Sarai could not conceive.
But if that was the case, how come he impregnated Hagar if he couldn't?
Well,
I think Sarah was the one that couldn't have kids, so she was barren, not Abraham.
Right. Yeah, but that was coming from their union as husband and wife.
Yeah.
They were to have a child from their union. Mm-hmm. That's why when Sarai allowed Hagar to sleep with her husband,
mm-hmm.
that son was not accepted. And that's when she became abusive to Hagar, too, probably jealous and everything else that this one could get pregnant and she's younger and all of that stuff. And here I am, you know, 70-something years old, and I've never been pregnant. And we waiting because God told us a long time ago that we would bear a child. All right? So that's a part of that, too. So let's look at Judges. We're skipping Exodus. Look at Judges 2, 1 through 4.
Exodus, Numbers.
Before Ruth, Joshua, Judges.
Okay, got it. Judges.
What did I say? Judges
2.
Judges 2, 1 through 4.
Okay. 2:1-4. Okay, the Lord's messenger comes to Bochim. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors. And I said I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you were not to make any covenant with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars. But you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you. When the angel of the Lord finished speaking to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly.
Mm.
Amen.
Okay. And they named, and they named the place Bochim, meaning weepers. There they sacrificed to God.
Mm.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Imagine. And see, they disobeyed him when he told them to drive
destroy.
Out. Yeah,
right.
To destroy them, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what is it, 2 Samuel 24:16.
Second Samuel 24:16. Go back to Samuel. Josh.
24:16.
Oh, then it's 24. 23, 24. Oh, wow, it must be good if you said Okay, 16.
Read from 15. That's what I was looking at.
Okay, 15.
Please.
So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel that morning, and it lasted for 3 days. A total of 70,000 people died throughout
wow.
the nation, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. But as the angel was preparing to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented and said to the death angel, "Stop, that is enough." At that moment, the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araniah, and Jebusite.
Jebusite.
Whoa.
Yep.
They were so blessed that day. They could have been wiped out.
Right. Right. But then, where would God, Jesus have come through, you know, had he wiped out Jerusalem in that day?
Right.
Because he came from that line.
Yeah, because that was all due to this, and all of that was the judgment for David's sin.
Mm-hmm.
All of this have to do with David's sin. David.
Well, they did some sinning too. They got some. Not all of it was attributed to David. Some of that was what they had done.
Yeah,
you know.
But they were from the line of David, wasn't they?
Okay, I don't know because I didn't read this chapter, but I know we're talking about David, what he did. They're all terrible, but I'd rather be punished by God, whose mercy is great, than fall into human hands. So God let loose an epidemic. Okay, you're right. That was because of David.
Yes, because of his sins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but he still said, I'd rather be punished by God. So he has mercy. Than to let the human hand, you know, try to do something to me when I know they would be merciless.
Yes. That's what they are. Just like they are today. They have no mercy.
Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to leave those scriptures right there for now. Yet he is distinguished from Yahweh, Genesis 24:7, Zechariah 1:12-13. That he is a member of the Trinity is indicated by the fact appearances of the angel of Yahweh ceased after the incarnation. This is confirmed by the Old Testament statement that the angel of God accompanied Israel when they left Egypt. You see that in Exodus 14:19, around 23 and 20. And the New Testament statement that the rock who followed Israel was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. A lot of scripture. I'm not going into it right now. We might do it next time, but not now. Number two, his ministries as angel of Yahweh. Number one, he often acted as a messenger to various people. Mm-hmm. All right? This is talking about who?
Christ.
Right. And he appeared in what form?
An angel.
Amen. All right. So he guided and protected Israel. We see that in Exodus and 2 Kings. And he was the instrument of judgment on Israel when God sent a pestle, 1 Chronicles And then he was the agent of refreshment to Elijah, 1 Kings 19:5-7. So we see, and I know you've heard it before, that he, Jesus, is in the Old Testament as well as the New.
As the New.
And we don't get a pronunciation of him until
right.
we see him being born in Matthew.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so. But
wow.
even in Daniel, you know, in the lion's den, there were four men in there when actually three were thrown in. And
yes.
it was said by Nebuchadnezzar, you
yes.
know, who there were four men in the furnace. We cast in three, and the fourth man must be the Son of God.
Yes. He was right
yeah.
there with them, protecting them from
there.
The fire. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. So let's take a look at C, and then we'll be finished with this for now. And it says, his other activities, talking about the other things that Christ did. No
yes.
other historical activities of Christ are revealed as happening in his pre-incarnate state. So, oh, 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So all of those things happen when? In relation to Christ?
Oh, I got lost. He during the refresh.
Before he came in flesh.
Yeah.
He came his as an angel before he came
no.
in the New Testament.
Right. No.
Okay. Okay. The pre-incarnation of him. So before
yes.
he came as a man, or really as a baby, in the New Testament, where we see him being born, talk about his birth. But he was here before.
Yeah.
Right? He was with his father.
In the,
Kevin,
in
he
the
came
beginning.
As an angel.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So this is all talking about the pre-incarnate and his other activities, other things that he did. So
mm-hmm.
no other historical activities of Christ are revealed as happening in his pre-incarnate state. His work as Messiah required the incarnation. What does that mean?
Incarnation before
being born. So though it was predicted in the Old Testament, likewise his work as Savior necessitated the incarnation, necessitated him being born. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Old
yeah.
Testament does not specific revelation of second person as Savior, only God as Savior. To have done so would also have required an Old Testament revelation of the Trinity. Rather, that period is called the times of ignorance, Acts 17:30. Let's take a look at that because
who was
I recently oops. Heard that the Bible doesn't mention the Trinity. All right.
Oh,
so
really?
Let's look at Acts 17:30. Doesn't talk about a triune God.
Okay.
That's why many people don't believe that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Acts 17:30.
Okay. 30 says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. Okay, that's
okay. 30. So thank you. God overlooks it as long as you don't know any better. But
mm-hmm.
that time is past. The unknown is now known, and he's calling for a radical life change. He has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and every set right, and he has already appointed the judge, confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. Ooh, God. Ooh, wow. Wow. All right, so let us get ready to close. Any thoughts about that?
He was talking about the Greeks.
Huh?
Was he talking about the Greeks in 1730?
No, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Oh, I didn't finish that paragraph, though. That was during, well, they didn't talk about the Trinity. They talked about it being the time of ignorance.
Right. So he was talking
right.
to the Greeks.
He was talking to everybody in the Old Testament, I would imagine. It was considered
okay.
a time when people didn't really know about Christ, the time of ignorance.
Well, Paul did not leave his message unfinished. He confronted his listeners with Jesus. Resurrection.
Paul was in the New Testament. We're talking about the Old Testament.
Yeah, but Paul was explaining about it. Well, that's what I was reading in the commentary.
Okay, but again, here we're talking about the Old Testament revelation of the Trinity
mm-hmm.
was revealed as the times of ignorance.
Yeah.
Okay, not talking about Paul so much. But what does your commentary say? That's talking about Acts 17 and 30?
Yes, 30 and 31.
What does it read that?
It says,
what does it say?
Paul did not leave his message unfinished. He confronted his listeners with Jesus' resurrection and its meaning to all people, either blessings or punishment. The Greeks had no concept of judgment. Most of them preferred worshiping many gods instead of just one. And the concept of resurrection was unbelievable and offensive to them. Paul did not hold back the truth. However, no matter what they might think of it, Paul often changed his approach to fit his audience, but he never changed his basic message. So that's what the commentary was saying, that he never changed
his
message.
Thank you. And that was in the New Testament, but it was this book is still talking about what was they were called in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It referring to the Trinity. It wasn't called the Trinity. That's why we can't find it in the Word. Okay, the last paragraph is, though our Lord was not inactive in his pre-incarnate state, his greatest works necessitated the incarnation. Can you expound on that?
No.
Okay. So, though our Lord was busy before, he was not busy. He was busy during his, before he became human and divine. He was busy in his pre-incarnate state. His greatest works called for him to be born,
mm-hmm.
to be incarnate. So nevertheless, he stands magnificent in his person as the eternal God, but as it were, in the shadows, waiting the spotlight of the incarnation to reveal his glory and grace. And let's take a look at those two scriptures, John 1 and 17, and then Titus 2 and 11, and we'll round it out for tonight.
John
1 and 17.
John 1 and 17. I think we read 1 and 17. Okay, John 1 and 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just want to read it. Starts at 16 through 18. We all live off his generous bounty, gift
mm-hmm.
after gift after gift. We get the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. this one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists in the very heart of the Father, has made him plain as day.
Amen.
And the last one we're going to look at is Titus 2 and 11. And what time is it?
8 o'clock.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up, but let's look at Titus 2 and 11, please.
Okay. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people should live. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Amen. I was going into 12.
Amen.
Yep.
Okay.
That's 2 and 11.
So the grace of God, say that again, was created so that all should live.
For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people.
Amen. Thank you for that. I didn't look for it in my book, but if you would, thank you so much. Take us out in prayer, and we'll get ready for our meeting.
Yeah, because I got to stand up. My aunt is aggravating me. Ooh, we going into a new chapter. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We're coming along.
Lord, Father God, really. We started this book almost 3 years ago. Can you believe that?
Yes, absolutely. I believe it. And we'll probably be on in another year or two.
We started it in 2020.
Yes, but we got to look at it like this. It's only once a week that we're doing it, so that's why it takes longer.
I know, but sometimes we only do one page or one paragraph, half a page.
Because especially if it gets to a part that is so juicy, you have no choice but to spend a lot of time on it, just talking about
it. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
Praise God.
Thank you so much. But anyway, that's what it is.
All right. Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we have learned tonight. Thank you for our teacher. Thank you for just giving us another day to praise your holy name, another day to say thank you, God, for all that you are doing. Thank you for providing us with all of our needs. Thank you for providing us for a roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our backs, Lord God. Thank you for the healing in our bodies, Lord God. Thank you for sight, feeling, taste. Oh, Lord God, we got so many things to thank you for that we don't know where to start. But you know where we want, what we are saying, Lord God.
Yeah.
You know what we need. You know you are the giver of all things, Lord God. And all you ask from us is that we believe and read your word, study your word, love on your word, Lord God. We thank you for giving us that kind of knowledge, that kind of ability to even to say, I want to be like you, Lord God. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you, Lord God.
Yes.
We want your light to shine through us, Lord God, that other people can see. Oh, my Lord, what a wonderful person. What a wonderful spirit, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. We ask and pray that you continue to guide us and lead us where you will need us to go, Lord, and to do what you need us to do, Lord God. Thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you for all of those in authority, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God. Touch their hearts and minds and souls that they would guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God, to lead this country where you want it to go, Lord God. Bless those who need a blessing, Lord God. Bless those who are ill and those who are mentally ill, Lord God. Touch their minds, Lord God. Touch their hearts, Lord God. Touch our children, Lord God, and wrap your loving arms around them and let them know that everything is going to be all right, Lord God. Touch the elders that and teaching the younger ones, Lord God, that what they're doing is right or wrong, Lord God. We just ask all these blessings, and most of all, Lord God, we ask you to forgive us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. Bless each and every one of us tonight. Bless all of those on the line and their computers and wherever, Lord God. Bless those in the hospitals and nursing homes and our halls and prison cells, Lord God. Touch them, Lord God. Someone down there needs a touch, Lord God. Someone needs you to wrap your loving arms around them, Lord God, and give them the comfort and peace and understanding that they so desire, Lord God. And we ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and
hallelujah.
Amen. Praise be to
Powerful
God.
Powerful prayer. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I'll see you in 10 minutes. Let me
hugs and kisses. Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay.
And on that note, we are out. Praise be to God.